Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
O'clock hour, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app.
I like when people have great talent.
Man, if we got it.
I like when people have great talent. Everybody got, God made everybody good at something.
Right. Well, not everybody gave everybody great talent, like, you know, for you to cover Jay Novacek like you did. Like,
if you anticipate a study, you know, send that to Tim. Send that to Tim. He's such a Cowboy fan.
I got you.
I love it when Jalen Smith signed that deal.
See? How about that though? Jerry Jones, he's not backing down from anybody. He says Zeke, Dak, Amari Cooper, you guys don't want to be a top five paid player at your position. I'm going to go and make Jalen Smith. He definitely would like it. I can tell you that right now. Yeah, jumped all over it, and good for him. I mean, that's talking about that's hard earned money that Jalen Smith had.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That kid was. He had to go through. And what was the running back, Steve, in Miami? Hurt his knee. Michael Buffalo.
Oh, Willis McGahee.
That one was nasty. Ohio State. I'm like, oh, I feel so bad. Still came back. Still was a first-round pick. Frank Gore was another one. You see guys get hurt and they come back and have a pretty decent
You remember year. That draft when Willis McGahee got drafted? Remember that?
He's supposed to be like a top, what? Top
they've got
three
cameras.
Or four pick, yeah.
Oh my they've God. Got cameras in his home, but remember, he blew out his knee.
Yep.
So
yep.
they've got cameras home. There's Drew Rosenhaus sitting next to him.
Yep.
And it later comes
Speaking
out.
Of Antonio Brown.
Because he went at the end of the first round.
Yep,
last
sure
pick
did.
Or whatever it was. And it comes out later that Rosenhaus wasn't on the phone with anybody, was totally faking it for the cameras, acting like he was talking to teams, had nobody on the phone the entire time. But on TV, it looked like he was talking to teams.
He was Jerry Maguire before Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, he was.
Or
Lee Steinberg. Or
Lee Steinberg was based off of.
Well, I don't know.
Steinberg been around for a long time, though.
No. That guy is like Jerry Maguire. No, who's coming with
no,
me?
No, he was before. He was.
Four. I know. You say facts. I'm just trying to be funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would say this.
That guy was hilarious. He got all his clients paid.
And for Drew Rosenhaus, you can tell that he's doing it because he's got a t-shirt with his own logo on the front of it
that
he's rocking on Hard Knocks. Last night, episode 3 of Hard Knocks, right? So they're the Antonio Brown thing just keeps getting better as this dude, Gary, not only he was there, he shows up to camp, shakes the hands, he's walking around to everybody like he had known him for 15 years. Walking up to my man, hey, big boy. Nice job. Good seeing you, big boy. Hey, 7'7", good seeing you, man. The first thing that I have about Antonio Brown is, what is up with Antonio Brown now talking in the third person?
Yeah, well, he's weird, man.
When did he change himself to now talking about Antonio Brown as AB?
He got that from the president. He's the only guy that does it.
He's sitting there as he's working out on his own, right? He's tying his boots. Man, AB is a dangerous receiver, man. AB is a dangerous receiver. And his voice is all high, like not like it used to be.
Right.
Like,
no, something happened to him.
Totally different
Something
dude.
Happened to him. Did you see the way he pulled up in the Porsche?
Gets out.
Now the hot air balloon.
Oh, yeah.
With the
that
song.
Was funny.
Mm-hmm.
What song was he playing?
J. Cole
and 21 Savage. I love you for so many reasons.
Pull
up in the Porsche in that because.
I like it.
All the cameras around him. And then it felt like he was coming back, right? He was coming back.
Right, like he was here. He's going to be with the guys. Goes on the road trip. And then Lee, where is he?
In the show. At the end of the show, Joker left again. He and Gruden talking about, hey, I support you. Thank you for the support, coach. Thank you for all the love.
I'll holler at you.
Next thing you know, you're gone.
And he's gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
And that's when the Mike Mayock thing, which adds some context to Mike Mayock randomly coming out on that Sunday being like, he's either all in or he's all out.
No, it does.
Right.
Because now you get to see on the inside, they knew all along. They knew about, we did it. They knew about the feet because then Gruden talks about, hey, we knew about the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew about the helmet back in OTA. So it wasn't like it had surprised them. We just didn't know about it. I just think when you look at AB, man, he has changed a lot. I
mean, he's a totally different dude, man.
Changed a lot. Changed
somebody a got lot. To him. Maybe it was T.O.
Or, Drew Rosenhaus.
Somebody got to him and explained to him what he needed to do to draw more attention to himself for marketing and everything else that goes along with it.
Now, Gruden did say you are your own entity now. You are worldwide.
You're worldwide, yeah, right.
Gruden did say that to him.
And then he's like, but if you're here, man, we're going to do something different. It's going to be outstanding. My favorite part is Drew Rosenhaus after he shows up the first time, right, because he comes with Drew Rosenhaus. Right. Drew Rosenhaus rocking the DR across his chest.
Yeah.
He's like a used car salesman talking to John Gruden, like, hey man, I really appreciate you hanging out here while we're getting these payments in order. It's all good, but hey, let me just tell you this. Once this guy's on the field, he's gonna win you a bunch of ball games. He's gonna win you a bunch of ball games. All I can hear is like the guy at the used car dealership saying, hey, man, I know the transition just got replaced last year, but I'm telling you, engine runs great. The battery's fantastic. Just replaced it last year. Brakes, rotors, all brand new. Like, you can just hear,
brakes, rotors.
Like, you can hear him just lying the whole time.
You know, and I didn't think this Hard Knocks was going to be very good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
The whole AB stuff has added a whole different.
Yeah. It's more entertaining than Cleveland would have been.
Yeah, it feels like it. Well, no, because the whole AB thing, Leroy, in itself is...
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire, but following around...
It's a dumpster fire.
Odell Beckham would have been amazing. That guy's a very intriguing guy.
Yeah, but he ain't doing nothing stupid right now.
How are we going to know if we don't follow him?
Well, you can read newspaper.
Oh, yeah, he'll let you know because he's going to talk to just about anybody that'll listen, that's for sure.
The rookie that they got, who was the kid they drafted in the first round?
What position?
Oh, Jonathan Abram.
Oh, yeah.
From Mississippi State, who you really liked. Bad. Yeah.
Is that where he's from, Mississippi State?
Yep, Jonathan
he's
Abram.
He's a player, man.
Leroy. He for real.
Yeah. Grown man.
I
want him, so that guy's just.
What pick was he?
He went right after.
Right
Savage.
After Savage did.
Yeah, right after.
Somewhere right
did?
After Savage,
yeah.
Because they ended up having three first round picks.
Yep. Once I saw film on him, I said, man, that kid's a player.
He's
smart.
He's a player.
Big, strong, fast.
I like how the dudes are straight up addressing when, like, talk about Gruden and Mayock, how basically everybody on their team is a Clemson dude. Like, if they made, like, three or four different jokes about it last night, like, oh, sounds like some Clemson guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they
well, yeah, because you drafted all Alabama or Clemson players.
Yeah, because that's the championship, right?
Yeah, they're just like, it felt like during the draft, like, they watched the national championship game, like, okay, we're going to grab Cleveland Farrell. Jacobs, that running back from Alabama. Yeah. That guy looks good. Let's get him. Yeah. This guy, he's thick, man. I tell you, this guy's thick.
Right?
And Renfro, they grabbed him in the fourth round.
But is there something to taking guys from competitive winning programs year in and year out?
I think
taking somebody from Alabama versus Iowa, taking somebody from Clemson versus Northwestern.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Especially when you're trying to start your team.
Correct.
Because they're used to winning right now.
That's all
they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to compete your butt off to be able to be on the field. These guys already know that. They've been doing that ever since they stepped on campus.
From day one.
Abram was the 27th overall pick this year of the Oakland Raiders.
God, let's see what he looks like. He looks good.
He looks very good. They got a nice squad. They definitely got a nice little team. I can't see them challenging out there in the AFC West. They got a tough division out there, too. I mean, you're looking at the Chargers and the Chiefs. As well as, I mean, everybody else they're going to have to run through in that AFC. And Denver's not going to lay down for anybody either.
No. And I'm looking forward to the next one because this will have the Packers on. So they have them on the bus going to Winnipeg. That's how it ended. So it'll be interesting to see how they play up Rodgers in this one.
Do you think we are done with the antics of AB?
Chad, please.
Like for him to be backing out, coming back into camp, wandering around.
No, he's done.
He's done with all that?
He's done. He may come up with some other drama before this is over.
Well,
but
he's not
in
Winnipeg, though, right? He didn't go with them to Winnipeg.
I don't believe he went with them, no.
Went to Arizona.
He was there with Arizona. And that was the thing. He went to the game, and he, like, suited up. They're like, no, he's not going to play tonight, but it'll be all good. He's ready to rock and roll.
You saw the Caliendo thing, right?
Frank Caliendo was platinum.
Yeah, was he? Yeah,
he's That guy's amazing. Where's he from? Waukesha? Where's he from?
Yeah, Waukesha South.
Man, I love that guy. Man, he's awesome.
Actually, went and saw him hanging out with Gina Della. We went and saw Frank Caliendo. He has John Madden better than anybody ever. My favorite is as he stands up there quickly as we finish up the Hard Knocks. He goes, anybody even know who John Madden is anymore in this room?
Nobody. The game makes it more relevant.
Can you find, I guess there's a picture of Rodgers in a tux?
Yeah, with the Canadian tuxedo that he's
looks
rocking
like
as he walks.
Looks like a 70s porn star.
Well, he got that mustache, too.
Yeah. Looks like a 70s porn star with a little bolo tie on.
Man, I wish I could rock that kind of mustache.
This guy.
Mandela had that mustache. I made him get rid of it, though.
Full denim look. That's interesting.
Mandela, you remember that.
There you go.
What now?
Aaron Rodgers.
When you had that mustache just like Rodgers.
The one I have on my face right now? What do you mean when I had it?
No, I made you cut it. It's radio, Mandela. They don't know.
Do you know who has a creepy mustache when he grows it out? Who? Mitch Ross. Mayor Mitch.
That's for sure. Yeah, yes. Mitch Ross does have a nasty looking mustache.
Every time he does it, I was like, dude, enough. You don't need to do that. You don't need to have that mustache. You've seen it before, Anthony, haven't you?
The Mayor Mitch mustache. Not if I can help it with the mustache. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I
don't see a lot of Mitch because you see a lot of Mitch, but me and Mitch have the same job, so I'm not usually here at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, other than Bucks Post, that's about the only time. Right.
Talk about Uptown Motors and the official dealership of Leroy Butler when we come back.
Be good.
This is Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bet you talks about F-150s.
Oh, yeah, for sure he will. And he'll probably somehow squeeze in.
We'll talking about metallic red, maybe.
Talk about the dude riding around in his metallic red. And we'll find out where Leap's going to be this weekend.
And he'll sign something.
Oh, you're going to sign something.
Well, you get something free with it. Stay tuned for the details.
Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Show on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app, guys. 13th annual Perkins Restaurant Bakery's Fan Charity Golf Outing comes up, benefiting Give Kids the World on September 25th. We'll be out at the Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. You can golf with guys from The Fan. You can see what Steve Sparky Pfeiffer looks like. That's always exciting. You cannot throw a pie in his face as you used to in years past. Instead, Stevie will be doing important things like the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, come over, shake my hand, fist bump me, whatever you...
You're a big contact guy in that sense, right? Like when you're doing the show...
Shake hands,
fist bumps, high fives.
Talk to me in the commercial breaks, whatever.
I am a big high five guy too, that's for sure.
Now, you know what people want to do with us. Debate with us about something we said. I've had fans come up to me and say, I remember you said something 2 years ago. I say, well, sir, I forgot all about that. I'm sorry. But that's the best time to do it because we get there a little early and you get a chance to interact.
For sure.
And I always get a chance to see a few people. I love seeing Deidre's mom. I love her. I get a chance to see her.
Deidre's in promotions for us.
Yes, I absolutely love her. It's two or three other volunteers I get a chance to see. And I get to see some of the volunteers from Give Kids the World.
Mm-hmm.
I just love them. And most of all, I get a chance to really shake the hands of the sponsors, the reason why our sales team does an amazing job. But the people who are golfing get a chance to interact with them. Because sometimes they have questions, but they don't want to call in.
Right, no, I'd rather just ask them.
You can see what robbers look like if you want to, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can see all these people that we talk about.
And Leroy said it. I mean, we show up early. There's breakfast from Perkins, so you know I'm there at the crack of dawn.
Lord have mercy.
They got Robert specially eats your lunch. Lord have mercy.
The Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
Go to get the details.
And y'all
going to
feed people three times?
At 1057FMTheFan.com. Yeah, three times. Perkins, Roberts, and
Sazes. I'm going to drink a big old thing of prune juice before I get there, so I'll be ready for all three meals.
Instead, I'm going to drink some Beaufortin, but, you know, either way, to each his own. I think that all works out.
Hey, whatever happens, happens.
So, Leroy, there's been some conversation, and your guy, Rob Domofsky, wrote a piece earlier today discussing the productivity of one Rashawn Gary, or, frankly, it's been the lack thereof in the first couple of preseason games.
Viciously attacked by Gary and Dennis Krause on Spectrum.
Viciously.
Viciously. About Gary.
Right.
I mean, I was like, guys, calm down. I didn't think that they brought him in for production. They just attacked me.
So what? So you're not concerned about a lack of production from Rashawn Gary? Some fans have definitely become worrisome in the first two preseason games as you haven't necessarily seen him all but one time on a tackle.
Well, see, you got to understand something. And again, here's the context of it. They said that it was other guys more productive than him. I mean, the Bosa kid was more productive, wasn't he?
For the few games that he decided to play,
Gary's playing, he's hurt. So that's one thing. You can get a guy. They weren't going for a guy with a bunch of sacks. They went for a freakish athlete that at times played a lot of two-cabin system and a lot of system where he run a lot of games, and other guys were productive. Those two guys, but people don't – they see 12th pick, and they push back on the package a little bit. No, this guy should be getting double-digit sacks every year. I don't think you're going to see that. And I'm because that's the reason how they posed their whole answer to it. Then the coach says Stevie ran down the hallway excited.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
outside linebacker coach couldn't believe they got him.
6'4", 6'5", run a 4'6". These athlete types, one game, you may not see him for 6 weeks. Then he may get a 3-sack game. That's how it may go. So I'm okay with that.
Steve, as the fan here on the Wendy's Big Show, are you concerned about the productivity or the lack thereof you've seen so far from Rashawn Gary?
No, it's preseason, right? It is what it is. You wait and see what this looks like in the regular season.
Your quarterback hadn't played.
Leroy and Gary continue to tell me that he's going to be in different special packages, and that's how they're going to get him.
He has two special packages. Yeah, he has two of them.
Good. So hopefully they use those two in-game situations. Mm-hmm. And you actually can see something more out of him. But my problem is going to be if we get to week 4 or week 5 and I haven't seen him touch a quarterback yet, then is when I'm going to start to have issues, because I do not want to hear, well, he's holding up two guys so Kenny Clark can get to him. He's holding up two guys so this linebacker can get to him. That's not going to fly.
What if he does that and he grades out well? Do you care?
Yeah, I care.
That's what I'm saying. If he grades out in the 90s but didn't get a sack, do fans care about that?
So yesterday we talked about Adrian Amos, and Gary asked me what would be successful for him, right? And I said, don't blow coverage assignments, right? Mm-hmm. And don't miss tackles. Those are my two big things with him. Turnovers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this dude here, I need 6 sacks. He's got to get me 6.
6 is not out of the ordinary. There's nothing wrong with that.
At 16 weeks, wrong with that. You should be able to get 6 sacks as a first-round pick.
That's a good number.
Okay? So that's 6. That's all. I'm not asking for 10, 12, 6.
That's a good number.
Just give me 6 sacks your rookie year, and I'm good with it. And that's what I want to see. But if he's not touching a quarterback in the first 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to get a little suspicious and go, Leroy, what is going on? Yeah. Why can't he get to a quarterback? Especially if he's in two packages that are kind of kind of designed for to put him in a situation to be good.
And I think that's the thing. They don't know his design role yet because they don't know who's going to make the team yet. So his rotation hasn't been defined. He may start on the inside when it's the first third down, third and long. Every time they're third and long, he goes in like Keith McKenzie was. Mm-hmm. He only played when it was third and long, second and long, obvious passing downs. Or he can play in obvious run downs. He's going to be the end to that side. Those things go in now when they have the private practices and the media is able to do that. But when the media is asking questions, you could press them on it a little bit. Now, they should know. They should know his role by now. What's his role going to be? Are you concerned about his production? Of course they're going to say no.
Because while you are still in an evaluation period, you're not in an evaluation period of the 37, 38 guys that you know are locks on the team.
Because he's going to make the team, but – Steve has a great point, because if he makes the team and he doesn't start, that's not alarming that he doesn't start. But if you play 3 games, go by, he hasn't played, then the next game he's deactivated, then you may have
been. Then you're having conversations about it.
Yeah, because they're going to say, well, this is the kid. The Justin Harrell talk is going to come out. And you don't want that. You want him to say, no, his shoulder is fine, and he has a defined role, but he hasn't been put in that role. But how many times a team is going to be in obvious passing downs? It may be 7 to 10 times a game. It may not be but 4 times a game.
Sure.
He just didn't play that much. But he had to be a better athlete than play other than obviously passing down.
And we're going to talk to Ryan Wood coming up at 4:48, and he's been waving the flag for Rashawn Gary and telling us how good he's looked in one-on-one drills, how good he's looked in one-on-one pass
drills. That's a good indicator, but we can't see that.
And how freakishly athletic he's been at this point. But, Leroy, for you, do you think that maybe it is right now Darnell Savage Jr. is going to be the only starter that's going to start as a rookie here for this Green Bay team.
Well, and
does that reflect somewhat poorly for Gary? Do you think that's part of the reason why fans might look right away at the production level?
Well, I think fans think that, and I don't think they're wrong. If you're a first-round pick, you should start.
You should
they
start.
Took you first round for a reason.
Right.
We all agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'm the
they
same
took
boat.
You because there was a deficiency there, tough word, and you upgrading it. So mm-hmm. if you're going to upgrade it, start. So it's going to be on-the-job training. That means there's somebody there to train you, but at the same time, when they walk away from the cashier, you got to run that cash register by yourself. They'll come back and be your blanket, but it's on you. And he's going to have to learn that from maybe the Smith brothers. He's going to have to learn that from rookies last year. But I don't know if he's the type of guy to ask a lot of questions. The guy is just, when he walks into the room, you can say, whoa, that's the kind of guy that you need, the athletes tights. But if you're not going to be productive, I think they could have got other guys there if they wanted a guy with a high sack volume to get after the quarterback. I think they wanted a guy that can do both. That's why it was almost like a project.
Sure.
And they were okay with it. That's the guy they wanted.
Packer fans, will you be okay with the project style of what Rashawn Gary's rookie season could be? Are you concerned about the production level from Rashawn Gary, 414-799-1250, in this defense that's going to be predicated around getting to the quarterback and putting some pressure on, forcing into some bad decisions?
After the sports flash, I want to ask Leroy, can this defense still be good if this turns out to be a project and he doesn't have a lot of production this year? Can they overcome their first-round pick on defense? Or one of their first-round picks on defense not being very productive.
And we'll do that before Ryan Wood at 4:48. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Nothing hotter than a Wendy's spicy nugget, and they are back at Wendy's, you ass, and the queen of spice delivered. Wendy's one and only spicy nuggets are back in business, along with a hot, hot lineup. Get the iconic spicy nugs or try original spicy chicken sandwich or spicy jalapeno bacon fries. Each menu item cooked with perfect blend of heat and flavor. Keep you coming back for more spicy nugs, also available in the $5 biggie bag. Wendy's, we got you. And don't forget, football equals family time and tailgating. When Wendy's has you covered, family chili and family nuggets at Wendy's are the perfect addition to your game day. So for only $9.99, you can get family nuggets, 48 nuggets, regular or spicy, for just $9.99. Or how about their delicious, scrumptious chili? Again, $9.99, and their family chili feeds 4 to 6 people.
Do you think you could knock out that whole family-sized nugget thing in one sitting?
But Mandela did.
I don't.
That's why Andy was upset.
He did come close. He did come close.
I could do double stacks all day, but I don't think I could do chicken nuggets.
I also want to thank Wendy's for sponsoring the football camp on the 20th. Tim and Angie, I think Angie's one of the managers, Tim's one of the other big wigs. But Sheila hooked me up with those guys, and they brought over 100 Frosties. I told you guys that story yesterday.
That's awesome.
So I want to thank Tim and Angie for being a part of that. Because this was last minute. It was like putting something together, and they just say, hey, listen, we'll be more than happy to. And I'm talking to these kids, and they saw those Frosties pull up, man, they went crazy. I thought the mailman was coming with a raise, the way they was running outside. So I appreciate that, Tim and Angie, and of course Sheila does so much for the community, and that's the reason why we love Wendy's.
And we love Wendy's here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. We'll have our normal Wednesday visit with Ryan Wood coming up here in about 10 minutes from right now on the Wendy's Big Show. But right now, talking about the production, or the lack thereof, that Rashawn Gary has given you in the preseason, one tackle in two games, and he's played the highest amount of snaps in those two games out of any defensive player. And Leroy, one idea that was brought up to me here in just conversations about it around town was maybe he's playing a little bit, not scared, but maybe he's a little bit hesitant to go out here in the middle of the preseason and give everything he's got on shaking off of a pass rush or getting off of the bull rush just because of the shoulder and the bum wing he's got.
Yeah, they don't do that in the pros. You give it your all because you're going to get hurt. You go out there and you do it all. He's doing everything they're asking him to do. I mean, and again, in this defense, I'll prove it to you. Do we expect Kyle Facker to have 10 sacks? No. No. It just kind of happens.
Sure.
And that's why this defense is so fun. One week is this guy's week. One week is this guy's week. But this is where coaches have to do two things. To understand to improve the tackling mentally. And understand, put your playmakers in the position to make plays. Savage is always one after the, you know,
he's going to go after the football. Yeah, he's going to go after the football.
So after
now.
5 weeks, if he don't have a pick, you'll think, well, it's just like last year. None of these guys had picks. I mean, they had 7 or 8 for the whole season. He was brought in to improve that. Rashad Gary was brought in to improve the looks of the defense, make it more athletically sound. And sometimes he's going to be the second guy or first guy coming through on these games. He's going to get tied up, and you're going to see another guy come around the corner and get the sack. He may grade out a plus on that play, but the fans going to see the other guy get the sack, because that's mm-hmm. what the camera goes on. So, and it's, if I was listening to me right now, Leroy, that sounds like a bunch of excuses. This guy, 12 picks, 6'5", all he's supposed to be just like Javon Kearse. Remember that?
No, he's definitely not Javon Kearse.
I know that's what people may think.
Number 12 overall pick was Aaron Donald a few years ago.
Oh, Aaron Donald. Now, that's platinum, though.
He's arguably the best player in football.
Yeah, that guy's amazing.
It's not Aaron Donald.
So we'll see. No, we know that, of course. But I think when people see the measurables and where they took you, because there's another position they could have took, you know, offensive line, you know, a lot of people wanted receiver, whatever, mm-hmm. defensive back, safety. But they chose a project, a guy that has the measurables, but that's the way the NFL is going. They want these tall guys that good wingspan, 40 times. Wang. Why do you think they even took DJ Metcalf up in Seattle? The guy got all his talent but hasn't played.
And hurt.
Yeah,
DK
right.
Metcalf hurt. Okay, so let's go back to the question I asked before the break, which is,
yeah, what was
is
that?
This defense good enough to overcome a lack of production from a first-round pick like Rashawn Gary if he doesn't produce this year?
Yeah, absolutely, because you don't necessarily know who that guy's going to be week to week. And I think that's why I like the system. They don't have one guy. Like, Clay Matthews was their best guy. If he didn't get a sack, it just wasn't happening. I mean, it just wasn't. This defense, anybody that week can be the guy.
Okay.
So yeah. It's a scheme fit for you that will cover up that, not necessarily
the
player
scheme
making
means
the play.
That you, the scheme means that you're going to get 44 sacks. That was top 8, but you may not remember any of those sacks. But you don't have to be a Pro Bowler to play in this system. You really don't. If you have some, great.
See, for me, and maybe we'll disagree on this, I'd rather have me a great player and some solid players around him than a bunch of solid guys and hoping that they all can produce week to week for you, right? So if I have an outstanding pass rusher, mm-hmm. a top 3, top 5 pass mm-hmm. rusher, and a bunch of good guys around him, maybe not a bunch of Pro Bowlers, but a bunch of solid guys around him, mm-hmm. I like that because those are the guys that are going to get to the quarterback. Versus this scenario here with the Packers where you're looking around going, I don't know if any of these guys will even get double-digit sacks. Might be a bunch of them that get 6, 7, 8 sacks, right. But you may not have anybody among the league leaders in sacks. I mean, and that's the debate. Which one would you rather have out there? For me, I think I'd rather have the premier pass rusher that I know was going to get me 12, 13 sacks year in and year out.
See, and that's the thing about who you're going to blame, the system or the player.
Mm-hmm.
Where Steve doing it, he can blame the player. You just have a down year. The way I'm saying it, you can blame the system. So that means the coach is going to get fired because your system isn't good enough.
Sure.
But if you have a guy who was a premier pass rusher, if he has a down year, then you're going to say he's overpaid. You're not going to say this group is overpaid because all these guys is going to earn their money because they're not paid like these premier rushers. And I will say this, the Darius Smith and these guys, mm-hmm. you're going to expect a lot from these guys, but we don't know.
That's for sure.
I mean,
I would say the expectations for the production will fall much heavier on a Preston Smith than it would on a Rashawn Gary.
Yeah. Oh, no question. Big time free agent.
Right.
A rookie, you can give him some time, but 12 pick, you don't think you'll ever pick this high again. It was one talk of them maybe even getting a quarterback because you're never going to pick, in your mind, you're never going to pick 12th again to get a quarterback for the future, which I think that's Tim Boyle. We'll find out. But with that being
I just want people
to understand that his production is the same as it was at Michigan. He didn't get drafted.
It was moderate. It was moderate production at Michigan. It was
7, 8 sacks in 3 or 4 years. I mean,
Well, he's going to have more production than he did at Michigan. Because let's see what Michigan did. Nothing.
Yeah. Well
especially against Ohio State. I can tell you that much right now.
But I think people are going to have to judge him.
Cover the alternate spread.
They're going to have to judge him with a curve, as most rookies. You're going to see Savage sometimes get beat. It's a part of the process of young guys getting beat. But you're also going to see him snagging interceptions out of the air.
I hope Eddie Jackson didn't wreck the rookie curve for safeties, because what that dude did was like Hall of Fame trajectory.
Amazing.
Darnell Savage might not be that good, but I expect him to be, like you said, all around the football a lot. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, our football conversation continues with him next here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Also, a conversation I got to ask Leroy Butler out about the world of baseball today, and Sparky's guy Jeff Passan with a eye-opening conversation about players and performance-enhancing drugs. Ryan Wood next on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome on back. Appreciate you hanging out. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here, and so is Leap 36 Leroy Butler, old number 36, soon to have his name up in the Ring of Honor once he is finally inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is going to probably happen this year. Not a prediction, ladies and gentlemen. That is a spoiler. Ryan Wood talks Packers with us Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here on the Wendy's Big Show at 4:48. We do that now with him on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ryan, appreciate the time. The Twitter sphere all excited about Aaron Rodgers' outfit as they arrive in Canada, but will he arrive on IG Field tomorrow night to start?
It's a really good question. I wish I had a good answer for it. You know, I could see it going both ways. We know how Aaron Rodgers feels about it. I don't think there's any question about that. He doesn't see the value in these preseason snaps, and you know, as the Packers would like to have him out there. They want to see their quarterback with the offense in this new playbook, but they've also very much left open the door that he won't play. So, you know, it very much seems like it's up in the air.
You know, when we talk about this Packers team and them playing in this game and that turf condition, like we talked about last time, you got any more of an indication of any of these starters not playing outside of Aaron Rodgers because of said turf?
Yeah, I asked Brian Gutekunst about that this week, and you know, he mentioned that the turf's only a couple years old, so it's not like it's old. It's not like it's worn down and everything. Mm-hmm. He did say that he'll, you know, when they get there in person and he gets his eyeballs on it, he'll give it a look, and if there's any questions at all about the, you know, the safety of the field, then they're not putting their starters out there. That's just not going to happen. So, you know, that remains a wild card, because until they actually get a chance to see it, I'm not sure even they can know. They're going to give it a look, and if you see starters on the field Thursday night, you can be assured that the field passed the inspection.
Yeah, all right. I want to know the mental state of the team when they're going into practices and getting close to the regular season. You think they'll still concentrate on Oakland and maybe even Kansas City? Or you think this, just I know, just guessing, do you think they should just go ahead and just start with Chicago and just don't even game play in this next two?
Well, if you're looking for differences between Matt LaFleur and Mike McCarthy, we got one this week. They closed down August practices. They're not open to the public, the media. We got 22 minutes on Tuesday, literally just enough to take attendance. And there's no secret why that's happening. I mean, this is the start of Bears prep.
Yep.
I mean, they're still doing some card work for the Raiders and the Chiefs, because you have to do some of that. But that's minuscule compared to the Bears prep going on. I mean, it's full throttle to week one starting now. And that's all going to be done behind closed doors. So, no question. This is the heart of Bears prep here.
Yes, I'm in the camp. I don't necessarily want to see it. Me and Gary disagree on that. I don't necessarily want to see Aaron at this particular time. It has nothing to do with the surface. It has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't have to do with his helmet. I just, at this particular time, that I just want to guarantee he's ready for Chicago. I have no problem with him not playing. I think I may be in the minority. What do you think?
Yeah, you're probably in the minority. You know, look, who knows? Maybe he doesn't play in the preseason. They come out and they look just fine week one. My thing is this. Under the best circumstances, the absolute best circumstances, unveiling a new offense for the first time at Chicago against that Bears defense is not easy. I mean, under the best circumstances. And Aaron Rodgers not playing at all in the preseason can't be the best circumstances. I mean, he's the quarterback. He affects the other 10 guys on the field. Every single thing flows through him. So it's hard for me to see how that helps in any way.
But look at it this way. Also, Chicago doesn't have film of him running it. They don't. I mean,
yeah, but that's not like they're going to show anything for real. You know that. I mean,
well, at least you go through his vanilla. Yeah, at least that little bit they'll be able to show it, but they can't see any film of Aaron Rodgers with Matt LaFleur's offense based on what they saw in the news. You can't really see anything, so that could be a surprise, I think.
But it could be a surprise anyway. Like when I say Aaron Rodgers on the field, I don't mean from like running the playbook and week one stuff. That's not going to happen. Everything week one is going to be unscouted looks anyway. I'm just saying, like, it's a new play caller. And Aaron Rodgers said, you know, the move the ball drills in practice, they're unscripted, and they practice the relaying of the calls and him getting everyone set up. But let's face it, I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't need that game feel, the other 10 guys might. I mean, the other 10 guys might need to know what that feels like from that perspective.
Especially for the hard count, you're right about that. You're right about hard counts, audibles. You are absolutely correct with that, yeah.
So I don't think it's about the playbook. Like everything, whether he plays or not, everything week one is going to be unscouted looks. So they're going to, they're on both sides of the ball, but especially the offense, they're going to unveil stuff that we don't see in the preseason. It's just the machinations of the offense, the logistics, the nuts and bolts of that thing, and how it operates with the quarterback on the field, with the new play caller, the communication, those things. That to me is where you practice at least a little bit in the preseason.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show. Talk to him Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 4:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, as you look on the defensive side of the football, 66 snaps in the preseason for Rashawn Gary, just one tackle. Now, the production level was obviously low at Michigan, and that's been well documented, that he was drafted on potential and what the measurables say. Now, you've talked a lot on this show about how good he's looked in the one-on-one action. So can we expect this week to be where it starts to break out in 11-on-11?
You know, Mike Pettine had a really, I think, fair point about Rashawn Gary, and that is the difference between him and Darnell Savage Jr. is that Rashawn Gary really is transitioning to a new position. He didn't stand up in college. He had his hand on the ground. He was a five tech. There's going to be a learning curve there. Now, one-on-one is a completely different beast than 11-on-11. So when I rave about his athleticism in one-on-one, it's better to have that than not, for sure. But that doesn't mean that it's transferable to 11-on-11, especially when you're learning a new position. It's just totally different. And frankly, while it's better to have the athleticism pop out and see that one-on-one, you have guys sometimes that you don't see that in one-on-one that are gamers and show up in 11-on-11. Kyler Fackrell is a great example. You see him one-on-one pass rush, it's not much to look at. You put him in a game, he had 10.5 sacks last year. So, it's just a matter of when that light bulb does click on for him, I think, at a new position. That's why the Packers are playing him those 60-plus snaps and have given him a lot of time on the field this preseason to get used to the new position. I mean, everything's different. The vantage point is different. You're standing up. There's a lot more to be aware of when you got your hand in the ground on the defensive line. I mean, it's much more of a tunnel vision. He's seeing much more of the game and much more of the field now, and he's got to be able to process that. So there's a lot of new for him to get used to.
You know, we talk about Mike Pettine and this defense, and something different is Mike Pettine standing on the sideline versus being up in the booth this year, and that's been documented. What I haven't seen is who are the guys that are going to be up in the booth sitting where Mike Pettine was sitting?
You know what? That's a good question. I actually don't know. Mike Pettine said that a year ago with having the run game coordinator and Patrick Graham and the pass game coordinator Joe Witt on the field, he felt better about how the sideline was being handled. But the reason for making that move is because, and he even said, especially at Lambeau Field, I mean, there's some stadiums around the league where this isn't as much of an issue, but it takes a journey to get from the coaching booth to the locker room at Lambeau Field, and halftime's not very long. So that's, you know, the logistics of it is a big reason why he's on the sideline now, and that's something he's not done a whole lot. You know, I'm not sure who he's got up there, but Mike Pettine is the brain of that defense, so it's all going to flow through him, and that brain now is on the sideline.
More important to be on the sidelines with their side of the ball, offensive coordinator with his quarterback, wide receivers, and running backs, or defensive coordinator with his guys?
Honestly, and this isn't a cop-out, I think guys on both sides, it's kind of to each their own. Like, guys that just have different preferences on both sides. I certainly think, because of the emotion that you have to play with on defense, one of the things Mike Pettine said was that he likes to see look at guys in their eyes on the sideline, and there's a lot more emotion you got to play with on the defense side of the ball than even the offense side of the ball. So that certainly can help. I mean, he can get a feel for guys and their composure, guys, you know, their emotional level, where they're at, and a better pulse on that. But there's a lot of offensive coordinators, too, that like to be down there for really the same reason. So I really think it's an individualistic preference from coach to coach that really kind of transcends whether you're offensive or defensive side.
Ryan, who do you got tomorrow night, Packers and Raiders, as I try to always take a little bit of your knowledge and help it to my bank account?
Oh, I'm still doing the preseason betting. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Got to. Come on now. Don't laugh. Hey, these are investments, Ryan. Investments. That's what you have to think about these as.
So I think a really good rule of thumb in this 2019 NFL season for everybody is to never take the Raiders.
Good. I like that. Okay. That works out.
Just don't take the Raiders. Just don't do it.
So that feels like Packers giving 2.5 is exactly where I should be at.
Yeah, if it was Packers or anyone else, I'm pretty sure I would not take the Raiders.
There he is, Ryan Wood, going anybody but the Raiders for tomorrow night's game on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk about it on Friday.
All right, take care.
That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We'll talk about Packers and Raiders with him on Friday at 4:48, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show. You can look and buy, build, or renovate or refinance in 2019 with Great Midwest Bank.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.